Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room, listening to this podcast, wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
Welcome to Dragonfly Tales, a story podcast with me, Emily. And each episode, I'll tell you a story from around the world and share some fun and silly things with you. So a big well done to those of you who tried to guess the answer to Mr. Swift's riddle. Did you work it out? The answer is vowels. It was quite tricky, wasn't it? But the words glass, jet, tin, box and you all contain the five vowels. A, E, I, O, U. What a devious and cunning riddle by Mr. Swift. And I'm pleased to say that two people managed to crack it. Elise, who is 7, and Bodie, who is 5, and they're in Houston, Texas. Well done, Elise and Bodie, and thanks for listening. We'll have some more shout-outs, including some birthday shout-outs, coming up after today's story. And so, listeners, my story is a Greek myth. Oh, we love Greek myths here at Dragonfly Tales, don't we? And we've already had a go at quite a few of them. Let me see, we've done Theseus and the Minotaur, Odysseus and the Cyclops, Demeter and Persephone, and of course, Perseus and Medusa. If you haven't listened to those episodes, you should definitely go and check them out. You're going to meet some familiar characters in this story, particularly when the gods show up. And also, we'll have some brand new characters from Greek myth too. Because it's such an epic tale, this one, I've decided to tell it in two parts. So, here we go with part one. And I think we should start long ago in ancient Greece. Long ago in ancient Greece, in the city of Corinth, there lived a young man named Bellerophon. He was strong and brave and liked to spend his days riding horses. He was so good at horse riding that his friends suspected that his father might be a god. Do you remember who the god Poseidon is? That's right, the god of the sea. But he's also the god of horses. Well, Bellerophon longed to be a hero and go on great adventures, just like all the other great heroes he'd heard about in stories, like Theseus and Perseus and Odysseus. Well, one day, Bellerophon was invited by a great king, Proetus, to come to the kingdom in Argos. Bellerophon was delighted to stay with the king and his queen, Antea. They became very good friends. Proetus gave Bellerophon many gifts and helped him to train as a great warrior, and all was going very well indeed until the queen fell in love with Bellerophon. And her love for him burned within her like a fire. She didn't tell her husband, the king, but she told Bellerophon. She told him how much she loved him and wanted to marry him instead. But Bellerophon didn't love the queen, and he certainly didn't want to marry her and upset his friend King Proetus. So he told her so. "I am sorry, my queen, but my feelings for you are those of friendship only." Now the queen didn't take this very well at all. She became angry that this young man did not love her back, so furious, in fact, that the queen did a terrible thing. She went to her husband and she lied. "My husband, this boy is not a friend to us. He is our enemy. He insulted me and is not to be trusted. If you love me as your queen, you will put Bellerophon to death." Poor King Proetus, he was in a terrible position. He liked Bellerophon, but the queen was such a good liar that he believed her. And so, Bellerophon must die. The king couldn't bring himself to do it, so he decided to make it someone else's problem. He wrote a letter to his friend, another king, King Iobates of Lycia, and this king owed him a great favour. Then he summoned Bellerophon. "Take this letter to my friend, the king of Lycia. Do not read it. Place it directly in his hands. Tell him, this is the favour I want. And may the gods go with you, my friend." Bellerophon was a bit confused, but he did not want to disappoint his friend, so he set out on the journey to Lycia. It took many days to get there, riding over hills and mountains, sailing over blue ocean, and when he finally reached the palace, Bellerophon was tired and hungry. King Iobates of Lycia was delighted to welcome him. He'd heard of this brave and strong young man. "Welcome, welcome, Bellerophon. How is my friend, King Proetus?"
"Your Majesty," said Bellerophon, "the king sent me with this letter for you."
"No, no, not now, not now. I'll read it later. First we must feast."
And what a feast it was. The king ordered the finest food to be prepared and summoned entertainers from all over the land to celebrate the young man's presence. After the first day of feasting, the king and Bellerophon had become good friends. So the young man tried again.
Sir, about this letter from King Pro...
"Yes, yes, 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 I'll get to it. I hear you're a fine horse rider. Show me some of your tricks."
After the second day of feasting and horse riding, the king and Bellerophon had become great friends. But still, he reminded him,
"Your Majesty, I really think you should take this letter now and..."
"Oh, look, fire jugglers. Come, my boy, let's watch them."
At the end of the third day of feasting, everyone was exhausted and went to bed for a long sleep. The king, Iobates, sat on his throne.
"Ah, Bellerophon, my great friend. I am so pleased you have come here. I hope you will stay longer. Now, let me see this letter you have from King Proetus."
As he read it, the king's blood ran cold. His face turned grey as ash.
"Your Majesty," said Bellerophon, what's the matter?"
The king looked fearfully at the young man and then read the letter again. It simply said, "May the bearer of this message be put to death." It was signed King Proetus.
"Your Majesty, what does the king say? What has he written?"
Iobates began to weep. What could he do? He didn't want to kill Bellerophon. They'd become friends. But he knew
that not to repay his favor to King Proetus could start a war. He was silent for a long time, and then he said, Bellerophon, I have welcomed you as a son. You are strong and brave, noble. You would make a great hero. But a hero must be tested, yes. I believe you were sent to help me in some way. Well, I will help you, Majesty, in any way I can. Listen, then, and listen well. There is a monster in my kingdom that no one dares to face. It is a creature worse than your nightmares. They call it the Chimera. Bellerophon had heard of this terrible beast, or should I say, beasts, for the Chimera was a mixture. It was said to have three heads. The front part of the beast was a lion, with razor-sharp claws, powerful forelegs, and a huge lion head with deadly jaws. The back part was a goat, its demon goat head rearing up behind the lion head, with two huge spiraling horns that could impale its victim. And its hind legs were goat legs that kicked so powerfully they could break any bones. And the tail was a dragon's tail with a serpent's head at the end, hissing and spitting deadly venom. And as if this wasn't bad enough, the Chimera's lion mouth breathed huge dragon flames that scorched and blackened the land all around its lair, making it impossible to approach. Bellerophon shuddered. But this was his chance to prove himself a great hero. So he bowed to King Iobates. I shall seek out and destroy the Chimera, Your Majesty. And he turned and left the palace. Iobates wept softly. I have sent that boy to his death. I hope you're satisfied, King Proetus. Up on Mount Olympus, Poseidon was not happy. He was pacing about in front of his brother Zeus, huffing and puffing. This is outrageous! Who do these mortal kings think they are? They're not brave enough to fight my son, Bellerophon, so they just pass him off and then send him to ultimate destruction. They're cowards, I tell you, cowards! And he shouted so loud he sent tidal waves crashing against the shores in the mortal realm. Calm down, brother, said Zeus. Stomping about and shouting won't help him. Well, can I help him?
Hey, I'm Dr. Z and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear figs. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your figs? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.
I mean, you helped your son, Perseus, didn't you?
Actually, said Zeus, that wasn't me. That was your niece, Athena, my daughter. Poseidon stopped pacing.
Oh, yes. Do you think she'll help my son? I mean, Bellerophon is her cousin, sort of.
Zeus stroked his beard and snow fell on 12 mountaintops.
I don't know. She's still annoyed with you for the whole Medusa thing.
Poseidon grunted and caused a small whirlpool somewhere in the Adriatic Sea.
Well, I didn't turn the poor girl into a Gorgon monster. That was all Athena.
Yes, but you did dishonor them both to begin with. I'm not sure she'll want to help.
Well, she has to, said Poseidon. Or my son will end up a lion's lunch, or a goat's lunch, or whatever that thing is.
Zeus smiled.
Why don't you ask her yourself? Here she comes now.
The halls of Olympus were filled with a gentle breeze, and on that breeze there came a thousand feathers, which swirled and danced through the corridors until they formed into a great snowy owl, which flew around and around the heads of Zeus and Poseidon until they were mad with frustration. When the owl landed, it transformed in a great flash of light, and there was grey-eyed Athena, goddess of war and wisdom.
The answer is no.
Poseidon started to boil with rage. But he's my son! You must help him!
Help him yourself, then.
Poseidon looked at Zeus and then looked at the ground.
Please, my favorite niece? The one who is so wise, you alone know the way the Chimera can be defeated. Please help my son, O wise and noble goddess.
Athena sighed.
Very well, but Bellerophon will need more than just my help.
As Lord of Horses, I'm surprised you couldn't work it out yourself, Uncle. Poseidon looked at Zeus. Zeus shrugged, and they both looked blankly back at Athena.
Oh, for goodness sake, he will need a horse. But not just any horse. A winged horse.
Oh, Pegasus! Shouted Poseidon. He'll need Pegasus! Of course, I knew it!
I also knew Medusa would come in handy, eh?
Athena was furious.
Don't speak of her to me, Uncle.
Yes, sorry. Well, hurry up, please. Help him catch the Pegasus.
Athena bowed to her father and uncle and was gone. On her way to find Bellerophon, she thought of Medusa's fate. When Perseus cut off the head of the Gorgon, Pegasus, the winged stallion, had been born from Medusa's blood. She looked down at her aegis, where Medusa's head shone brightly. And then Athena transformed herself into an old, old man. A fortune teller, and landed lightly on the dirt road just as Bellerophon came riding by. The old man, who was actually the goddess Athena, waved at the young man on the horse.
Ho there, young stranger! Help a poor old man, would you?
Bellerophon leapt down from his horse at once.
Of course, old man. Would you care for some water?
Oh, thank you. You are Bellerophon, yes? And you seek to defeat the Chimera, yes?
The young man was astounded. Well, how could you possibly know that?
I'm very wise, yes, wise. I know many, many things. My name is Polyidus, and I can aid you in your quest. You must seek and tame Master. You must seek and tame the pet. You must seek and tame the Pegasus. Only with a winged stallion may you defeat the Chimera. Now go to the Temple of Athena, and you will learn more.
The Temple of Athena. Right. Thank you, O wise Polyidus.
Oh, not at all, not at all. See you soon. Goodbye, Bellerophon.
The road to the temple wound steeply up into the mountains, through olive groves and woodland. Bellerophon could see the blue of the ocean way down below, waves breaking on the shore like 1,000 charging white horses. It was evening by the time he reached the temple. He tethered his horse and entered. The oil lamps flickered gently as Bellerophon approached the great altar. All around the walls were mosaics of the great goddess herself, her helmet and shield sparkling in the dim lamplight. Bellerophon sat down on the floor and waited for a sign, but there was nothing. Just the sound of the breeze in the olive trees and a small white feather dancing on the marble floor. He watched it and started to feel sleepy. Soon he was dreaming. And in his dream he saw a woman surrounded by light. In her hand she held a horse's bridle made of shimmering gold. The woman spoke to him in his dreams.
Noble youth, you must seek the winged stallion they call Pegasus. He will help you in your quest. You must honor him, win his trust, and Pegasus will be your loyal servant. On Mount Helicon, he drinks at your father's spring. Find Pegasus and win his trust.
Bellerophon awoke. He was alone in the temple, but in his hands was the shimmering golden bridle, and beautifully embroidered on it was one word, trust. He left the temple with the bridle, in search of Mount Helicon and the spring where Pegasus the stallion drank. As he rode away, Bellerophon had a strange thought in his mind. On Mount Helicon, he drinks at your father's spring. Huh, I wonder who my father is. And I think we shall leave Bellerophon on his journey to find Pegasus. We'll find out what happens next in part two. But for now, it's the end. So, listeners, did you like part one of The Chimera? What was your favourite bit? My favourite bit of this story so far is definitely the twist in the tale when the king of Lycia reads the letter and realises that he must put poor Bellerophon to death and so decides to send him off on a quest that might end in his death. Sort of reminds me a little bit of King Polydectes sending Perseus off. Same sort of idea, isn't it? And now we've got a few more shout-outs. Firstly, I'd like to do some birthday shout-outs for our patrons who are born in June. So here's a birthday shout-out to Chodak, who is 8, and he lives in Salt Lake City in Utah. Happy birthday, Chodak! Next, we have a birthday shout-out for Ella, who is 7, and she lives in Jeffreys Bay in South Africa. Happy birthday, Ella! And remember, if you would like a special birthday shout-out on the podcast, pop on over to Patreon and find out how. I have got 2 more shout-outs for some amazing artists. Here's a shout-out to Susie, who is 6 in New Zealand. She drew a fabulous drawing of all the characters from The Coming of Spring, Bridget and Angus and even the Kaliach. So thank you for that lovely picture, Susie, and thanks for listening. And finally, here's a shout out for some more great artwork from Miriam, who is 7, and she's in Michigan. She drew a wonderfully scary picture of the God of the Sea from the Pinkoya Child. I loved it. Thanks, Miriam, and thanks for listening. So that's it for this episode. Thanks to all of our lovely listeners who had a go at the riddle and sent us in their lovely drawings. Please keep your artwork coming. And remember, you can come and join us over on Patreon for more stories and content. You have been listening to Dragonfly Tales with Emily. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and we'll have part 2 of The Chimera coming soon. But until then, though the quest may take its toll, we'll march on till we reach our goal. Bye!
Our podcast is brought to you by Emily, Leo and Andy at Dragonfly Tales. Join our Dragonfly Tales podcast group on Facebook. Find us on Instagram at Dragonfly Tales Pod. And follow us on Twitter at Emily Dragonfly.
Oh, Pegasus!
Hey, I'm Dr. Z, and I'm a neurosurgeon. So that means long hours, early rounds, late nights, and everything in between. And through it all, I wear FIGS. Because they're built for what I do. Through the chaos, through the hours, and through whatever the day throws at me, they do their job so I can do mine. They're comfortable when it counts and functional when I need them the most. So where do you wear your FIGS? On shift, on call, on the couch in the break room listening to this podcast? Wherever it is, they fit right in. And now listeners of this podcast can get 15% off their first order. Just head to wearfigs.com and use code FIGSRX at checkout. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX.